Hey guys, welcome back to another podcast. My name is Colby Shinaki, and in this episode, we're going to be talking about how the purpose in our lives is something that we can't afford to miss out on. If you're new, thank you so much for coming and listening. On this podcast, I have one very clear goal, and that's to equip you and to encourage you to step into everything that God has planned for your life. Also, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on this podcast because it really helps me out a ton into getting this message to reach as many people as possible. I hope you enjoy today's message. I have this friend named Nick, and him and I have been friends for years. If you know me, you know who I'm talking about. But him and I were hanging out the other day, and I think we were running around all day trying to get pictures for our Instagrams on our iPhones, and that didn't go so well at all. We ended up just running around Orlando, stopping at places to eat and meeting up with other friends. He kept making the point that half the fun of taking pictures is looking the part and using a DSLR camera instead of our phones, because he said we looked dumb. So we didn't get any pictures, but somehow at the end of the day, we ended up at his dad's house. And after talking to his dad for some time, his dad ended up bringing out these binders and boxes full of sports cards. There was a ton of them. Thousands. He had been collecting them for years since he was young. And so the night ended with us getting out our phones and going on Google and going through what seemed like every single one of these cards to see if any of them could be sold or to see if any of them had any value whatsoever. Most of the cards that we found had little to no value, but we also found some cards that ranged anywhere from hundreds of dollars to thousands of dollars. And every time we would find one of them, we just got more excited and we kept looking till we couldn't look anymore. So a few days pass and Nick and his dad go to one of these places to get the cards authenticated because there's a process. See, first you have to get the card authenticated and then you can have that card sent into a company called Topps. And depending on the condition of the card, they will package the card and give it a rating. And depending on the rating of the authentication, that determines how much the card would eventually sell for. So, these guys go into the store to get the card verified, and they walk in all excited and happy to get this card rated. And I kid you not, not even being in the store for 5 minutes, the guy looked at the card and barely touched it and told these guys that it was a duplicate. So something that seemed so valuable was actually worthless. And it's funny because he called me right before he went into the store with his hopes so high and you could tell that he was really excited. And then he calls me about 7 minutes later and I thought he was going to tell me that he went to the wrong place because it seemed like he literally just got off the phone with me. But you could just pick up the phone and you could hear the disappointment and the sadness in his voice. And I didn't know what else to do other than laugh. And I was thinking about that the other day, that something that seemed like it held so much value was actually worth nothing at all. And I was sitting on the porch the other day just thinking to myself, and then this vision came into my head so clearly. It was a little strange because it was about cards, and I hardly even use cards at all. But this was my vision. See, we have this deck of cards, and these cards are so rare. They hold infinite value, and they're priceless. And these cards are our purpose. They're God's calling for our lives. They're moments in our lives when God wants to do something great, or He wants to move in your life in some way. That's what's on those cards of value that you have. You don't actually know what the cards have on them or what they look like, but you know that they're valuable and you know what they revolve around. But in this vision, I was sitting at a table and there was another deck of cards at the far end of the table. And these cards were dressed up, they had pretty little sleeves, but the thing about these cards is that even though they were dressed up and even though they looked all nice and pretty, these cards were common. These were cards that everybody had, cards that you could find anywhere. But the vision goes on and it's just a glimpse of the person, me or us, not even looking at the cards and trading them. Exchanging them for cards that are all dressed up and pretty, but are filled with commonality. Then I snapped out of my thoughts and I went inside and my sister was sitting on the couch and somehow we started talking about Moses. And that's when this whole thing started to make sense. We were talking about how Moses is the hailed leader of the Exodus. The one through who God delivered his people from Egyptian slavery. To Moses, God entrusted the law. Jesus demonstrated that Moses foreshadowed his own work as the Messiah. Moses is listed in Hebrews 11 as the exemplary of faith, or the example of faith. But in Deuteronomy 34, we read that God himself buried Moses. We are also told that since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did inside of all of Israel. Yet Moses, for all of his blessings, was not allowed to enter the promised land. Why not? And I just need to say this. If you leave this podcast right now and there's only one thing that I could say that I hope echoes through your mind, it would be this, is that the crazy part about sin is that you never know what you're trading for it. See, Moses in Numbers 20 struck a rock for water to come out instead of doing what God told him to do, which was speak to the rock and water will come out of it. But in what seemingly looks like anger in the story, he strikes the rock and God tells him that since you broke faith in front of Israel, you will only see the promised land from a distance you will never enter. And so God raises up Joshua to carry out the mission that Moses failed to complete. Moses didn't know what he was trading. I'll prove it again. There's a man named Saul in the Bible, and he was a king in the Old Testament. In fact, he was the first king of Israel, and this man started doing things the way that God willed. He wanted to be a nation that pursued and chased after God, but there came a point where things shifted, and through disobedience to God, and chasing the will of man, and being consumed with pride, Saul began to trade his cards. He began to trade God's calling on his life for commonality. He began to give away cards of infinite rare value to do man's will, not God's. And there came a time when Saul gave away his last card, and so God raised up David to take Saul's place because God's story has to keep moving forward. And I want to say this to make this extremely clear, and to make sure that I'm not misunderstood. I'm not making the point that when you give away your last card, you're out of God's hand, or you lose your salvation. I'm making the point that it's possible to be saved and accept Jesus' free gift, but completely miss out on the life and the purpose that he has for you. My dad and I were talking about this the other day, and he gave me this imagery. He said, our purpose is like a parade. You can go to the parade, and you can be the first one there and get the spot right up front where the parade begins, and you can watch and be amazed at all the different designs of the floats going by. But if you step away and you look away for a little bit and then go back to the spot you were at, you miss the parts of the parade that went by. You don't get to go back and see the designs of those floats. You missed out. There's a story in the Bible that describes this so well, and it's called the Parable of the Talents. It's in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, and it says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants to entrust them to his property. To one of them he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to their own ability. Then he went away. He who had 5 talents went at once and traded them, and he made 5 more talents. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 more talents, but he who had received only 1 talent went and dug a hole and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing him 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 more talents.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much.' And he said to the one that received 2 talents the same thing that he told the person with 5 talents. And we pick up in verse 24, he who also received 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you would be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your money in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew I would reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should receive what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. And I want to end there. And did you guys just see what that just said? It's saying that God has given us giftings and God has given us opportunity and he has given us purpose. But if we don't act on them and we do nothing with what he has given us, he will give it to somebody who will be faithful. He will give it to somebody who will make the most of what God wants to do. Because looking back, Moses couldn't do it, so he rose up Joshua. Saul couldn't do it, so he rose up David. And we couldn't live by the law and the standard that God set, so he sent Jesus. And here's the thing, it's your choice. You get to decide how much of the parade you want to see. And the same goes for God's purpose for us. That's why it's so important to be selfish about the calling that's on your life. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and we don't have as much time as we think we do. And it scares me so much because I see people just sitting idle, wasting purposes and wasting their time and not chasing God with everything that they have. And this is me speaking from my heart because I sat in that same place for so long. And you get to a point where you realize that life is pointless without God's purpose and anointing and guidance. And I'm selfish about my calling. I'm not going to step away. I'm not going to miss moments where God wants to use me. I'm not going to give God a reason to raise up somebody else in my place to fulfill the story that He meant for me. I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to see where God takes me, and I'm going to watch Him move through my life in ways that I can't even imagine, and I'm going to get front seat and see every bit of that parade.